If you would, turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. You know, you see in the paper all the time, in the obituaries, you see that people will include scripture from this passage as part of their testimony in their obituary. And it may say something like, I have fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. And I think about that, and I reflect on my own life, and I think, will I be able to say that? Now, of course, everything people put in the paper in their obituary is not the way things are. I hope you all understand that. But would I be able to say, I fought the good fight? Will you be able to say, you have fought the good fight, finished the race, kept the faith? The whole point is that we finish what we started, what work that God started in us, that we finish well. Because I really honestly believe that we are nearing the finish. We have no way of knowing when Jesus is going to come back, call his church home. We have no way of knowing when he's going to call us as individuals. But I believe in the culture that we live in, the time that we live in, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to happen soon. Soon may be on God's table, it may be 10 years or 100 years. I don't know. But just looking at the way things are going, it seems like it's just imminent. His return is going to happen any day. We need to hang on. We need to hold on to the finish line. We're almost there. We're almost there. Don't give up now. Don't quit now. Don't slow down now. Don't look back now. Now is the time to double down on your efforts, to try even harder to reach the goal that has been laid out before us. Paul is writing this letter, the very last letter that he would write in his entire life. Writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. Paul had been arrested in Rome. He had been placed, history says, in the Mamertine prison, which was used to be formerly a cistern and a well, some 10 to 12 feet under the ground, made out of stone. It was cold, it was dark, it was damp, and it was a place where prisoners were kept that were awaiting execution. Paul had been in prison many times. He had been beaten many times. He had been stoned. He had had all manner of things done to him because of his belief in Jesus Christ and his preaching of the gospel. But he knew that this was different. I don't know if God spoke to him and said, Paul, this is it. But he knew. He knew that he wasn't going to get out of this one alive. And he was okay with that. He had suffered. He had given his life. He had sacrificed everything, his entire life, for the glory of Jesus Christ. And he said, you know what? It was worth it. Everything that I have endured on this earth has been worth the glory that's waiting on me. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, it's going to be worth it because of what we have waiting on us. Paul's writing to Timothy. Timothy is the young pastor at the church at Ephesus. There was a lot of false teachers in Ephesus, a lot of people that were opposing the true gospel of what Timothy was trying to preach, what Paul had preached when he founded the church at Ephesus. A lot of people were preaching things that were contrary to the gospel. They were bringing all sorts of outside ideas in and preaching a false gospel. And Paul's trying to encourage Timothy to carry on the mantle, just as Moses, when he was preparing to die, they appointed Joshua as the new leader. Paul is encouraging Timothy to take what I have done, carry on with it, keep moving forward. Let's see what he says in chapter 4. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearance and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the words of encouragement from Paul, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, so that we might endure, that we might persevere to the very end. And Lord, we might stretch forward with all of our effort to attain that which you've set out for us to attain. Lord, bless the preaching of your word today. Lord, I pray that you would remove me out of the way and that you would speak through me the words that we all need to hear in these last days. And I'll give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at what Paul says to Timothy. And I can say this to each and every one of us. Paul says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom, preach the word. You preach the word. You preach the word. You preach the word. You preach the word. And you might look at me and you say, I'm not a preacher. Yes, you are. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ who has been born again, bought with his blood, you are a proclaimer of the testimony of what Jesus Christ has done for you. You may not be a pastor. You may not be a speaker. But you and I, every single Christian, is a preacher. To preach means to publicly proclaim or earnestly advocate the message. That is the responsibility of each and every single believer that is in the kingdom of God. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. You might say, I can't preach the word. You have a testimony. Did the Lord save you? Did he bring you out of sin and lift you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the solid rock and give you a home in heaven? Then you have a message to preach. You have words to proclaim. You have a testimony that can be effective in reaching someone who's lost for the gospel's sake. And he's telling Timothy, whatever you do, preach the word. And when he's talking about the word, he's talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God, crucified, buried, risen again on the third day, ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, and awaiting the time to come back for his church. Preach the word. You and I need to preach that to the world. They need to hear that because the world is so, there's so much plurality in religion now that everybody has a religion and everybody thinks every religion is equal and as effective in getting people to heaven. There are not many roads or many paths to the Father in heaven. The only road, the only path must come through the Son, Jesus Christ. And that's it. There is no other way. There is no living a good life. There is no serving Allah. There is no serving Buddha. There is nothing apart from Jesus Christ. Preach the word. Church, we need to preach that word to everybody. And there's an old saying, use the 3-foot rule. What does that mean? When anybody comes within 3 feet of you, you need to tell them about Jesus. Do we do that? Do we think about telling people about Jesus? Do we preach the word? Do we proclaim the word? We need to. Paul's he's encouraging Timothy. Timothy, preach it. Preach the word. And not only preach it, you got to be ready. In season, out of season, anytime you have an opportunity. You know, you're not always going to have your tracts with you. You're not always going to have your Bible with you. You're not always going to have your pastor with you or somebody that can take over the conversation and lead it in a way that points people to Jesus. You're not always going to have that. So you need to be ready. I need to be ready. We need to be ready in season. Listen, I studied for today. I needed to be ready for today. Probably not studied as much, and you're probably going to say you probably didn't study as much as you should have, because it sounds like you didn't. But we need to be ready. We need to be prepared, but not just when we have something scheduled. We need to be prepared any time of the day or night, any time on the job, any time out in the community, any time out in the marketplace, out in the workplace, wherever we are, we need to be ready. That's what that says. It says be ready, be instant in the King James. Be ready. Any time that you have an opportunity, proclaim the word of Jesus Christ, be ready. So how do you get ready? Well, it takes study, and it takes prayer, and it takes holy living, and it takes a dedication to the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you play on a ball team, if you play sports of any kind, or if you're part of a band, or if you're part of any other kind of activity, group activity, what do you got to do? You got to practice. You got to prepare. You don't just show up at the state tournament and put your team in there and you haven't practiced. No, you spend hours in the gym, on the ball field, practicing, getting ready, making yourself better. You have to do that with the gospel. If you're going to be an effective leader of people to point them to Jesus Christ, then you have to prepare yourselves. You have to be ready. You have to practice. You have to get ready before the opportunity comes. Be ready in season, times that is scheduled. Be ready at the drop of a hat. Be ready to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And part of that being ready is not being involved in things that make you not ready. That means there are activities that we do, things that we see, things that we say, places we go that we shouldn't. And when we do that, then we're not ready. We got to be ready in season, out of season. Convince. You know, we might say, well, the convincing is up to the Holy Spirit, which is true. But the Holy Spirit uses you and me to proclaim the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if we're going to convince somebody, what's one thing that when you go to buy a new car or you go to buy a certain thing, whatever it is, you want somebody that's going to talk to you about the good attributes of the product you're getting ready to buy. You want to buy something from somebody that believes in what they're selling. You don't want to go buy a new car from somebody and they say, well, that's a pretty good car. I don't know. I don't think I like it that great. But, you know, if you want to buy it, I'll sell it. No, you don't. No, you want somebody that's going to say, man, this is the best car. I tell you what, I got one just like it at home, and it's great. I love it. We've never had any trouble. You want somebody that believes in the product or the service that they're trying to offer you. If we're going to offer people Christianity, we can't walk around like sad sacks and like we're depressed all the time and, oh, woe is me. No, we got to. If we're going to convince people to come to Jesus Christ, it's got to be attractive. It's got to be something that draws people. We have to have an attitude that people will look at and say, you know what, I don't know all about this Christianity, but what they've got, I think I want some of it. I want the joy that they're experiencing. I want the security that they have in this Jesus. I don't know all about it, but, man, it just looks great. They should be able to say that about the church of God. People looking in from the outside, they should be able to look at the church and think, you know what, I want to be a part of that church. They love one another. They love Jesus. They love each other. They minister to people. They support missions. They do these things that are eternal and important. Convince. Rebuke. He's telling Timothy, listen, you've got to rebuke or stand against false teaching. False teaching is prevalent today in the church. False teaching is prevalent in society. Everywhere you listen, if you turn on the TV, if you look at your phone, if you do anything, it's false teaching. Everything is okay now, according to society. Everything is accepted. And not only is accepted, things that are sinful that God says are sinful are celebrated and glorified and bragged on and heralded as the best thing. And we're so proud of you for committing this sin. No, we have to rebuke that. We have to take a stand against the false teaching of the world and the things that are wrong in the world, but we have to do it in the right manner. He says, rebuke, and then exhort, which means to encourage. We have to encourage one another. We have to stand beside one another, lift one another up, and say, listen, I know what you're going through. I'm here with you, and you're doing a good job. Keep it up. Exhort. But you do it with all longsuffering and teaching. The only thing that defeats bad teaching is sound teaching. We have to teach the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ from the Word of God, not our own opinions, but the truth from God's Word. And when we do that and we present that, then God's Word will speak for itself and it will defend itself. He said, "For the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." That is exactly where we are today in the United States of America. We live in the land of the free, in the home of the brave. As we saw in our little video clip, this nation was founded on the premise of Christianity, on belief in Jesus Christ, and established on the tenets of the faith of the Bible. But now we have walked so far away from that. God's not going to continue. I hope you realize that God is not continually going to bless the United States of America when we continually turn our backs on Him and call things that are sin, we call them good, and we call things that are good, now they're called labeled sin. God is not going to continue to bless that. But churches everywhere have pastors now in their pulpits that will preach things that are contrary to the Word of God, because that's what the congregation wants to hear, and that's what the people want to hear, and they're, after all, the ones that write the paychecks. And so if that's what it takes for this pastor to keep a job, then I'll say whatever needs to be said for me to keep my job and keep my salary. And, you know, denominations will place people in pulpits that aren't even Christians, and they preach the word in error. They preach in error things that are not true. And we have to understand that that's the place that we're at right now in society. Churches have heaped up to themselves teachers, preachers having itching ears, somebody who's going to tell them what they need to hear instead of tell them what they need to hear. They're going to tell them what they want to hear so they can walk out of here just happy and fine and everything's okay. But listen, if you don't ever go to church and get challenged because of something going on in your life that is wrong, that is sinful, and you're not challenged by your pastor or the preacher in the pulpit, then you probably need to find a new church, one that will preach the truth, because it doesn't matter. None of us are perfect. And when we come in to hear the Word of God preached and taught, then sometimes it's going to cut us. It's going to offend us because we are in error and we are rebellious and in sin, and we need that. We need that instruction. That we need that sound doctrine that's going to be like we're looking into a mirror and we see ourselves for who we are, that we are sinful. Paul says, "But you, Timothy, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions." Paul could speak on afflictions. He was shipwrecked. He was put in prison. He was stoned. He was beaten with rods. He had all manner of things done to him, but he didn't care. Do the work of an evangelist. Evangelist means to proclaim the story of Jesus Christ. That's what the church is for. Fulfill your ministry. Timothy was given the ministry of being the pastor at the church of Ephesus. You have been given a ministry somewhere in your life. Somewhere in your circle, you have a ministry. And you might think, well, I'm not called to the ministry. You are called to a ministry. You have been given a spiritual gift. If you're a child of God, you have been given by God a spiritual gift that you are to use to exhort and edify the church and to reach out to those who are not part of the church, those who are lost without Christ Jesus, and invite them to come to know Him as Savior. You have been given the task of performing a ministry of some sort. I don't know what your call is. I don't know what your ministry is. I don't know what your gift is. Some people have different gifts. Some have gifts of teaching, some prophecy, some healing, some administration. There are many different gifts. You can search those out. But you have a spiritual gift if you're a child of God. Are you using it for His glory? Paul knows his life is over, and he's okay with that. He's looking forward to what's ahead, looking forward to the prize that he's sacrificed everything that he had for. He says, "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand." The drink offering, if you go back and you read and study the offerings, the sacrificial ceremonies, the bullock or the ram or the animal, whatever it was, would be sacrificed on the altar. And then maybe there would be a grain offering. The first fruits would be sacrificed on the altar. The very last thing signifying the end of the sacrificial ceremony was the drink offering, the wine. It was taken and it was poured out on the ground. It wasn't partaken of. It wasn't drank. It was poured out. And this indicated that the sacrifice was done, that it was completed. The ceremony was over. Paul says, "I'm already being poured out like the drink offering. My sacrifice is over. I have given everything for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have suffered, and now I'm being poured out." And that indicates the end of the ceremony. It's almost over, and it was a celebration. When the drink offering was poured out, it became a celebration that people would celebrate, thankful that God received their offering that they had given, the sacrifices that they had made. Paul says, "I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. It's over. I'm celebrating. I'm excited. I fought a good fight. I finished the race, and I've kept the faith." A lot of people in Christianity think fighting the good fight is come to church on Sunday morning. That's a very, very small part of the good fight. The good fight, sometimes it's a fight to get here. I understand that. Sometimes it's a struggle to make your way to church because so many other things in the world come in and try to make demands on your time. But fighting the good fight is not coming to church on Sunday morning. Fighting the good fight is proclaiming Jesus Christ out in the world in everything you do. That's a hard fight. Coming here is preparation. This is practice for fight. Because when we go outside these doors, we're in a battle. Every single day, every time we try to share the gospel, open our mouth for the Lord Jesus Christ, we're in a battle, and it's a never-ending battle, and it's a battle against powers and principalities and the demons and Satan himself. It's a battle to proclaim Jesus Christ in everything you do. The fight is out in the world because your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion. He's walking around seeking whom he may devour, and he's wanting to stop you from proclaiming Jesus Christ so he can devour one of these that are lost. That's what he's looking for. So if he can keep you from fighting the good fight and training for the good fight, you ever watch some of these fighters train to get ready for a fight, a boxer or an MMA, when they get ready? You ever see them, they'll take those ropes and they'll flip them up and down, you know? You ever do that? That's hard. I did it once or twice, okay? And then I quit because I'm a wimp and it's too hard. So that's tough. But you have to do that. They have to do that to get their arms in shape, because if they're going to fight, they'll punch themselves out in like 3 minutes. Their arms are so tired, they can't hold them up. So you've got to build up your strength. You have to come here. You have to get in the Word of God to prepare yourself for the fight that you're going to be in when you go out there. Coming to church is not necessarily fighting the good fight. It's part of it, but it's not all of it. This is not enough. It's at the battles out there. The battles out there on the job. When you go to work and the language gets pretty rough and the jokes start going, or the temptations of an extramarital affair. You're away from home, you're away from your husband or wife, and all these things look so much more attractive, and you think, you know, nobody's going to know. You know, that's where the fight is. That's where the fight is. The fight is leading your family. Leading your family in the ways of righteousness, in prayer, in Bible study, in teaching, instruction in righteousness. The battle is when you go out to eat and you don't want to pray before you eat because you're afraid people might look at you kind of funny and think, well, these fanatics over here or something like that. That's a battle. That's a battle, but we can prepare for that battle. The battle is witnessing to the lost. If you want to see a battle, if you want to get in a fight, try to talk to somebody about Jesus. Satan will come at you with everything that he has. He'll attack your mind. You don't know what you're talking about. These people are going to ask you a question you're not going to know the answer to, and you're going to look like a fool. You need to keep your mouth shut. Okay, he's attacking you. But you can prepare, like Paul told Timothy, so you can be ready in season, out of season. Anytime it comes, you have an opportunity. That's probably the biggest battle that we face, is trying to talk to somebody about Jesus. You could talk to somebody about the weather. You could talk to somebody about Tennessee football. You can talk to somebody about NASCAR. You can talk to somebody about your grandkids. You can talk to somebody about anything. But you try to talk to somebody about Jesus. You see if you don't have a hard time. You see if you don't have doubt filling your mind and attacking you on every turn. The fight, the good fight, is keeping yourself unspotted from the world. Peer pressure. A lot of you, we're talking to some of the teenagers, the young adults now that are going off to college. You're going to be going off to college for the first time. You're going to be away from your parents. You're going to be away from their watchful eye. And you're going to have all kinds of opportunity to do things that are not pleasing to God. Your friends are going to say, oh, come on, let's go. We're going out and party. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And, you know, come with us. Don't be such a fanatic, you know. It's okay. That's the good fight. You got to fight that fight. And it's hard. The fight is proclaiming the truth in a world full of lies. You know, a lot of you young adults are going to be going to college, and you're going to be hearing lots of things. I remember when I went back to school 15 years ago, I had to take a humanities class. And, hey, I've been a Christian for many, many years. Been involved in the church, teaching and everything. But the guy that taught the humanities class, of course, he wrote the book that we used in class. And he began to tell us all these things about different religions and how everything he thought worked. And it was so anti-God. You're going to hear that. You're going to be overwhelmed with that type of thing. You got to be prepared. That's a good fight to fight. Fighting the good fight is protecting your marriage, loving your spouse, protecting your mind, guarding your mind from the things in this world, doing what's right even when it's unpopular, standing against sin even when you're going to be persecuted for it. Sin is prevalent in this world. We have to take a stand against it in love, in the faith, and let people know where we stand. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished finished the race. I've kept the faith. Therefore is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all those who love his appearing. I'm looking forward to the time that Jesus Christ calls me home and comes back. I was talking to Linda Rothwell at the funeral Wednesday night for Ron Phillips. And I said, how's your mother doing? She said, well, she's 97 years old. She's tired. She's just tired. Because this is a fight. And we get tired. And I said, she's 97, she's tired. I said, I'm 60, I'm tired. And I know you were tired. But we have to get up and we have to keep fighting. We have to keep going. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, we'll read a few verses there before we close. Starting in verse 7. Paul gave everything. He gave everything to the cause of Jesus Christ. He said in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me.
Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, we are to pursue righteousness. We are to pursue Christ-likeness in this life. Are we ever going to attain it completely? Not in this life. We will attain Christ-likeness and perfect righteousness when we get to heaven and we're changed, and this mortal puts on immortality, and we're changed in a moment of a twinkling of an eye, then we'll attain that righteousness. But our goal is to pursue. And Paul says, I don't want you to think that I've already got it, because I don't. I haven't attained it. I haven't apprehended it. That word apprehend means to chase, lay hold of, and pull down. Now, there's a good example of that, and Matt's going to play a video clip, and I want you to watch. This is how we should pursue righteousness. Play that video, Matt.
With six different receivers, and this time he lost one, and it's picked off at the goal line. That's Buda Baker. Buda Baker out in front. Can Metcalf track him down? Can he chase him down? And he does to save a touchdown.
That was me back when I played football. That's the way we're to pursue after righteousness. We are supposed to chase it with all that we have. And when we can, we grab a hold of it and we pull it down. Paul said, press forward. We need to finish well, folks. We're almost finished. I really believe we're almost finished. But don't give up. The Bible says in due time we will reap if we faint not. Don't give up. I'm trying to encourage you and me. Right now is the time. It's not the time to step away from the church, to step away from God. Now's the time to get serious, more serious, about your life that you're living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I haven't made it yet. I've not attained it yet. But one thing that I do, forget those things which are behind, I reach forward to those things which are ahead. That verse and that terminology means stretching out. Reach forward for the thing that's just out of your grasp. And there's a picture I want to show you. This is how we are to reach forward. That should be the life of a Christian. See how that guy, he is reaching forward for that finish line. That's what we need to be doing right now. We need to be reaching forward, trying to attain the prize for the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. The upward prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Are you finishing well? Do you plan to finish well? Are you wanting to give up? Now's not the time to walk away. Now's the time to reach forward with everything you have for the prize of the upward call, the call that God is going to bring us to His glory one day. And while we're waiting on that, we need to be stretching forth. We need to be chasing down with everything that we have. I hope you'll take into consideration the words that Paul preached to Timothy, and he also preached to the Philippians, that you'll stretch forth, that you'll double down, that you'll fight the good fight, finish the race. It'd be a shame to get almost to the finish line and then just give up and quit. Now's the time to finish. Finish well. Finish strong. We're going to have one verse of an invitation song. I have decided to follow Jesus. If you want to come and pray, you come and pray. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, let me invite you. This is the, like Paul said, count everything else lost. Nothing is better than knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to know Him as your Savior. If you want to talk to me after church, come do that. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your word today. Thank You for Your goodness and grace. Lord, help us to press on. Help us to fight, to finish the race. Lord, not to give up, to reach forward for the righteousness in You. We love You and we praise You, Lord, for this one that's lost. Lord, let today be the day that they come to know You as Savior and Lord. And we'll give You all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand, please.